Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Well, my name's JD and part of the pastoral team here at City Life, and excited to just continue our Advent series. And we're just focusing, obviously, on Jesus coming and the awesomeness of this season, and it's so important. I want to start off with this. So a few years ago, I wrote and illustrated a kid's book called The Big Goodbye, and my question, or the overall thing, was like, what do you think the last conversation with the Trinity was like before Jesus went down to be a baby? So the Trinity, so God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son. Three parts to one God. What would it be like before? And so I'm going to read just a couple pages to start off today. And if you like this, talk to me after. I do have some books I could get you. But all right, put up the picture. So this is just a segment of it, but it starts off, "This will be the greatest feat the world has ever known. Soon everyone will see that there's a king upon the throne. We'll share all that you go through. After all, we are all one. Holy Spirit, God the Father, and the Rescuer, God's Son." Jesus turned and shouted, "See you on the other side." As he walked off to his destiny, the others beamed with pride. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords arrives through human birth. All of heaven's power come to walk upon the earth. "Two realities now one," said Papa, "merged into a child. Buckle up, humanity, because things are getting wild. The greatest risk, the boldest plan, and now it's coming true. A baby born in Bethlehem is making all things new." A baby born in Bethlehem is making all things new. That's pretty nonsensical, if I'm being honest, right? If just to, like, what? How can a baby being, babies are born all the time. How does a baby being born make all things new? It's very upside down, but that's exactly how Jesus works. And, you know, we're talking about upside down Christmas, hence all the upside down Christmas trees. I think it's hilarious that some people are offended by these upside-down Christmas trees. I think that's hilarious. It's not upside-down crosses, you guys. It's not a bad thing. I think that's hilarious. There's actually a historical fact that people would use upside-down Christmas trees to represent the Trinity, the three points. And so I think it's good maybe to stir up the little Pharisee in you and shake off that unnecessary, unhealthy religiosity. So if that's you, get over it. Okay, love you. I think they're awesome. To me, it looks like arrows pointing down. And to me, it kind of is almost like Christmas coming down to us. Christmas coming down to us, which is exactly what it is. Jesus, the Son of God, leaving the heavenly realm to enter our realm, to be with us. And how did he do that? Well, he did it in a way that wasn't expected, right? People might have thought, like, you know, open the doors and he rides in on a horse and guns blazing and down with the Romans, right? This is what they were expecting the Messiah, the Savior of their people, the Israelites, to do. But no. See, the world wanted a rebel king with an army, but the Messiah showed up as a little baby born in an animal's food trough. Everyone expected power, wealth, and domination. But Jesus initiated his lordship with humility, service, and peace. And so today I want to talk about peace. Can you just say peace? It is a good word. As we continue this Advent series, and I love Advent and all the aspects of it, hope, peace, joy, love. You can put up this picture. So at home, you know, December's an awesome time for us. We have Advent, so we have tea. Usually we do it at right after supper or whenever we can fit it into our crazy schedules, but we have like some Christmas tea or whatever, and we've got our Advent candles, and we read through an Advent devotional, and, you know, all the different candles representing, you know, hope and peace and joy and love, and then of course the extra one being Jesus that you light on Christmas Eve. And so I think it's just beautiful. A great reminder. Advent realigns us with the true purpose of Christmas. And December can get away from us so quickly. So we need reminders that a baby was born in a manger, that God in flesh appearing. And so I want to read from Luke 2 some of the story. "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Oh! They were terrified. Maybe I made you jump. But they were terrified. I mean, come on. Imagine for a second that's you. You're just doing your job. And boom. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. And they're like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm ready for this. We've been waiting for the Messiah a long time. This is going to be epic. And they're like, all right, here's the sign. You're going to find him a baby. And they're like, wait, what do you mean? No, the Messiah is coming to save us like right now. It can't be a baby. But it's a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. Well, that doesn't sound very epic or royal or whatever. And lying in a manger, in a food trough. And they're just like, angels, you are on crack. What are you talking about? That can't be right. But suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth. Can you say that? Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. An army of angels appears in front of you and they could say anything to you, but their simple declaration is peace on earth. But not to everyone. Peace handed out from heaven to those who please God. Oh, okay. So let's talk about that today. What is peace? Who is it for? And what do we do with it? That's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to do the same tangible thing that Jen did last week when she was preaching. So you want to kill the lights? All right. So 700 years before Jesus is born, a prophet named Isaiah receives a word directly from God about the coming Messiah, the rescuer, who's coming to save people that are trapped in darkness. And so Isaiah 9, it starts with this. It says, the people who walk in darkness, okay, they're in darkness. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. So we have experienced darkness, we're living in darkness, but a light is coming. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Never-ending peace, which is a key element of his government and eternal rule. It sounds like that might be pretty important. So what exactly is this peace? Now, when we think of peace, I think the world often thinks of peace as like, I got my nice cup of coffee, I got a warm fireplace, the kids are off doing stuff, it's silent, everything's lining up, I feel just happy inside. That's a great feeling. That is not peace. That is a beautiful, peaceful kind of a thing. But the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, is so much more than just a nice cup of coffee and quiet time. Okay? Shalom, it represents wholeness, completeness, harmony, restoration. So Jesus is like, I didn't come to give you a nice cup of coffee. I came to bring harmony and completeness and wholeness and restoration. And that peace is a gift that can only come from Jesus. He says it himself in John 14, 27. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Oh, what's my gift? Oh, it's peace of mind and heart. So not again, not just peace of like happy surroundings and you know, beautiful little music or whatever. It's no, I'm going to give you peace of mind, okay? Like, you know, your mind is out of control, the chaos, whatever. I'm going to give you peace of mind, and I'm going to give you peace in your heart, where you're just feeling like, out of sorts. And the peace I give is a gift the world can't give. You can't get it from anywhere else. That peace you actually want, like, oh, that would be amazing if my mind just calmed down and my heart wasn't, you can only find that in Jesus. That's your only option. So the prophet Isaiah, he shares mystery God revealed to him that there's this future king, a prince of peace. What a great title. It's not a passive label. It's authoritative. It's royal, right? It's a ruler whose domain is wholeness and completeness. Peace is not an emotion. Peace is a person. In Ephesians 2, it says, Paul's labeling Jesus. He's like, he himself not brings our peace. He himself is our peace. He's not just like the holder of peace or the distributor of peace, although he does that, but he actually is our peace. So when Jesus shows up on the scene, he brings peace, not by singing soft lullabies or knitting cozy blankets for people. He starts physically healing, He's going around, he's freeing people from sickness and disease. He's forgiving people of their sins. He's casting out demons. He's dealing with the root problem of sin. And ultimately, he allows himself to be crucified on a cross. Isaiah 53, again, prophesies about a suffering servant. The whole chapter is amazing, but just all about this. Who is this suffering servant he's talking about? With crazy details about something that will play out exactly as it's recorded 700 years later. Isaiah 53, 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So his punishment, his suffering, what he intentionally went through, knowing that was part of the master plan, was that was what brought us peace. And the gift, this gift you're given, it's like, hey, do you want peace? Yeah, this gift of true peace was wrapped in suffering. Jesus took what we deserved. You deserved it. So that we could receive what we don't deserve. All this mercy and grace and all. And you're like, oh, I do not deserve death. Mommy always said I'm a perfect little princess, right? And you're like, well, sorry, princess, but yeah, you do. We're all sinners. And the price of sin is death. But the good news is that through his personal willing sacrifice to pay the price we can never pay, Jesus dies in our place. This is the gospel. Maybe you don't know the gospel. This is the gospel. Maybe you've heard it a million times. You need to hear it again. This is what transforms us. He dies in our place on a cross and then is resurrected 3 days later. Jesus makes peace with God on our behalf, creating a way for us to have relationship with the Father again. This is what he does. Okay, there's a story of Christmas, there was a presentation of the gospel, so what? If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, why can't my family get along at Christmas? Why is my social media exploding over race and politics and sexuality and gender? Why am I struggling with chronic sickness and pain? Why am I so stressed with school and finances? Why have I lost people I loved? Doesn't really look like peace on earth to me. Fair? Fair. Okay, Scrooge, well let's talk about that then. Okay, what does this never-ending kingdom of peace actually accomplish? Like, if this is real and it's available and we can live it, like, what does this peace actually do? There's a few things. First one is peace with God. Peace with God, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Can you just say peace with God? Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So God is holy and perfect, and we as sinners, we are not. We are not. But through believing in Jesus, we enter into that relationship with God. We have an open doorway. And we've been separated from God, but Jesus is the bridge that brings us back together and restores the peace in us. When we are separated from God, we do not have peace. We are living in chaos. Colossians 1, 20 to 22 says, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace, say peace. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. No, I was not. Yeah, you were. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. This is good news. And you are all of a sudden holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Through Jesus, you go from an enemy consumed with evil to holy and blameless and without fault. Only by Jesus. So we have peace with God through Jesus. And the other, what does peace accomplish? Peace in us. Peace in us. In the book of Mark, shares the account of Jesus in his boat with the disciples. There's a fierce storm happening, and it's a big enough storm that these are experienced fishermen, and they are freaking out. And what is Jesus doing? Well, look, Jesus was sleeping at the back. Dang, that guy can sleep really sound. Like, if it's that big of a storm. Jesus is sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, why don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still, or peace, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Now, in Jewish culture, Water represents chaos. Chaos, the danger, all of those things. And Jesus was demonstrating he is Lord over chaos. But not just water. He doesn't just physically calm storms. He actually can calm the storm in every one of us. So wherever you are feeling the waters churning and you're just like thinking about maybe upcoming Christmas stuff or just there's stuff at work or family dynamics or whatever it might be, and that water is churning, that chaos is going, he's like, I can calm that in you. I can bring answers to you. And that's good. The third way is peace among us. Ooh, this is a good one too. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Oh, okay, so it's not just a peace that I kind of pick up once in a while. It's actually meant to rule in my heart, like have dominion, have a seat of honor in my heart. And for as members of one body, which is us, the church, we are called to live in peace. That's a big part of what church should be like. Forgiveness, reconciliation, unity. These are key elements of what the church should look like. And we, come on, in this room and online, but like we are very different people, right? You are sitting beside people who don't think the same as you, might not even vote the same as you, view life differently, have different life experiences, all of these things that separate us, and yet this place is full of people who've surrendered their lives to Jesus, have received peace that comes from Christ, let it rule in their heart, and they are learning to live at peace together because it's ultimately about Jesus, so it doesn't matter about a lot of other things. We are together, we're living in peace. And the fourth way is peace for the world. Peace for the world. Isaiah shares another prophecy of what life will be like at the end of days when peace is fully restored. So he's talking about this and he says, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. This is a weird but beautiful picture. The wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. So it's just establishing. There's this element of just like there will be complete peace one day. And it is this peace that is in, with, among, and for. It is a peace that every one of us wants deep down. Some of us, we know it. We've got that peace, and it's like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Some of you, you're like, I don't know about the whole Jesus thing. You want this. I'm telling you. You just don't know the word. You don't know how to describe it, but it's there. That what you want, the answer is Jesus. That deep peace that can only come from him. And it's a peace that changes you and emboldens you. See, let's go from Christmas to Easter for a moment, okay? So, Jesus has died. It's during this time, he's just been resurrected, but his disciples don't know this yet. And so in John 20, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So they're not out there like, they're afraid, they're closed off, they're in hiding. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. You see this in the Bible. When things are repeated, it's meant to have weight. Peace be with you. Then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So what are his disciples doing? They're hiding behind locked doors. They're stressed. They're worried. They're freaking out. And Jesus bestows his peace on them. Now, their situation didn't change. They're still in hiding. People are still on the hunt for them, whatever. But their hearts did change. See, peace is not an absence of fear. Peace is the authority of Christ speaking stronger than the fear you're facing. So it's not that like, oh, have peace, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm never afraid of anything again, or I'm never concerned. No, no, no. It's just receive his peace so that even though you're stressed about stuff, his peace is stronger than those fears. Oh, I still acknowledge that's there, but your peace is stronger and it's changing me and it's helping me and it's working me through it. And I think it's interesting. Notice that Jesus gives them peace and then immediately sends them. Because peace is for the world. It is meant to flow through us. Yes, I want peace, but not just so I can sit alone in my room and be like, life is perfect. No, no. I have peace so that I can go and give that to the world and be a reflection of Jesus. Now, at this point, you might be like, okay, enough of the Jesus is King talk. Can you just give me something to calm my anxiety? Is there like some kind of like preaching pill you can just toss me so I can just like feel less anxious? And, you know, I mean, after all, angels said peace on earth to everybody, right? Well, let's look at this again. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth, yay, to those with whom God is pleased. Oh, but God is pleased with everybody. No, he's not. God loves everybody. God wants to change everybody's life, but he's not necessarily pleased with everybody. He is pleased with those who walk in obedience with him, who are in relationship with him. So this is an important disclaimer. God's peace actually isn't available to just anyone. His peace is designed for and it's directed at those who walk in obedience with him, those who please him. So you might want peace for your anxiety, but what you really need and really want is God's order. That's what you really actually want. See, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of our hearts, and that means he's in charge of our hearts and our lives. And if your lives aren't in line with him, you're not actually living in peace. Things might look pretty good on the outside. It's like, I'm putting on a pretty good show or whatever. Or you might even feel like, I don't really have that much bad happening in my life. And yet, we could be out of sync with him, and it affects every part of our life. You know, when you say yes to Jesus, he doesn't just like sprinkle peace on you. Just like receive this peace, peace. Oh, just a little bit of peace just coming at you. It's not always like that. What he does is instead, he doesn't just start sprinkling peace on you. He begins to change you and bring order to your life. You want peace? He'll do it by bringing you into order. Okay. I'm going to share an illustration that I heard that is kind of savage. But okay, so I heard a pastor share this story. He was speaking at a church, and he finishes. He's leaving with one of the leaders that was kind of like helping him out, assigned to him, whatever. And they're leaving the stage, and then someone comes up and approaches the leader and asks for prayer. And so the guy's like, the leader's like, well, what do you need prayer for? And the person's like, oh, I need prayer for finances. And he's like, okay. So he's about to pray for him, and he stops himself. He says, wait, I have a question. Do you tithe? Like, do you give back to God? Are you generous to God? And he goes, oh, no, I don't tithe. And so the leader responds, I can't pray for you. There's no amount of prayer that I could provide that can undo the chaos that you've brought on your own life by rejecting God's order for your finances. So no, I won't pray for you. And he walked away. Now, that's savage, and it sounds pretty cold-blooded. Whether or not he handled that perfectly right, I think there's something really interesting there. Is that I think he recognized something. It's like, what good does it do to try and pray for something for you if you're out of alignment anyways? It can't last. It won't stick. God can't bless your finances. You're choosing to be out of sync with him. There's so much there in every area of our life where that could apply. But I just think, like, it's crazy. It's like, so it doesn't necessarily do good for me or for us to pray for peace for you if you're not willing to line up your life with Jesus. You can ask, I would love the peace of God. Okay, but you got to be in alignment with him or it's not going to actually stick. This isn't an episode of Oprah where she just like surprises the audience with cars, right? You get some peace and you get some peace and you get peace. Everybody gets peace. Just toss it out at you. It's not like that. It's not like that. I don't think I should pray for peace for you if your life is in alignment with God's order. Now, I want you to have that, but it doesn't do any good. There's a flow, there's a system to what God is doing. It would be like if there was a powerful waterfall, just flowing of God's peace, God's whatever, all his provision, right? And you're like, I want some of that. Oh, I would love some of that. But the waterfall's way over there, and you're like, I want that, but I don't want to go over there. I like where I am. So can you top me up? How? You can't. You have to be where the source is. You have to come into alignment so that the flow, you come under the flow. It's like, okay, I'm filled with God's peace. And when we pull ourselves away from that, God's not stopping anything. We're just choosing to separate ourselves from what he wants to pour into us. So what is keeping you out of alignment from peace flowing in your life? I think there's a few things. Unbelief, when we doubt God's promises, we fill ourselves with uncertainty and fear. It replaces the confidence that God's got this. When we start to really doubt. Now, we all have doubts over something, but when we just kind of like accept it and live in that, yeah. Worry, projecting tomorrow's cares upon today just stirs up anxiety, right? You're just freaking out about what could be, what might happen, whatever. That is not allowing peace to flow in your life. And I think the biggest one is sin. Rebellion against God's best for your life. And that sin can be the bad things, but it also can just simply be like, I feel like God wants me to do this, and I'm just not going to do it. That is rebellion against God's best. God knows best what we need. And I know this from experience. Man, there's been lots of seasons in my life, but I remember a season in my life where I was doing a poor job dealing with just recurring sin in my life. And the Holy Spirit, he didn't just kind of like, hey, buddy. He was like, I say it this way. It was like the Holy Spirit tormented me. I would wake up and the first thought was like, talk to somebody, talk to your wife, deal with this, da, 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 da. And I would just be like, leave me alone. I don't want to think about that right now. And I'd go through my day and, you know, try and be a good boy and do whatever. And I got this. And the Holy Spirit would not leave me alone because he knew I was out of alignment. And so I recognize now that I didn't have peace flowing in my life, not because God was withholding, but because I was choosing to be Lord of my own life and do this thing. And I was out of alignment and I didn't have the peace that I needed that only came from him. And I still remember, you know, it's just things had really kind of blown up, and it was late at night, and I'm walking down this back road out just outside of town, and just like shuffling my feet, kind of talking to God. I don't even know what to say. Hands are dangling. I'm just like, I'm the worst, and life, this is awful. Like, how can anything turn around here? And I'm just wondering, like, what's going to happen? I feel like God spoke to me, and he's just like, peace has a price. If you really want this, like, peace has a price, and it will take discipline to walk in it. And it reminded me of this verse, and this is just a verse that has stuck with me, is a key verse even right now in my life as I'm going through Freedom Session, working on lots of stuff. It's great. It sucks, but it's great. Okay. I love this verse. Okay, so Hebrews 12, it says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. We are not masochists. This is not like, yay, this is fun. No, no, no. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So discipline sucks, but it's important. And if you'll be trained by the discipline of getting in line with God, changing what you need to, lining your life up, if you will embrace that and be trained by that discipline, what do you get? A peaceful harvest of right living. Oh, I'm at peace. I'm actually able to function properly now. Well, I want that. Okay, well then this is what you do. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. You're here today. Some of you, and it's like, I feel depleted. Yeah, God gets that. Just take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Okay, I'm going to start with this, God. I'm just going to believe this is probably the best. Hopefully, you've got me on course. I'm just going to start by doing this or talking to this person or whatever. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. And so I began a process of letting Jesus be the Lord of my pain. Because I really believe, and I've heard this said, the only way through the pain is through the pain. You can't go around and be like, everything's bad. It's like, oh, I got to deal with this stuff. Then I have to go into it and through it. And God, help me get through this pain. It's tough. So I took a new grip with tired hands. I strengthened my weak knees. I marked out a straight path for what was lame in me so I could grow strong again. I think it's worth noting, too, that we're called to walk out this peace. And if you read Ephesians 6, the armor of God, which one of the pieces of the armor is peace? The shoes of peace. Shoes of peace, sandals of peace. The shoes of peace. I'm walking out peace. Every step I take can be done in confident assurance. God's got me. And it's only when I confessed and I dealt with the chaos in my hidden life did peace start to flow again. So, step out of chaos. Get in alignment with God and watch the peace flow. Watch the peaceful God. I'm back in alignment. It's going to be hard work. It might take some punishment. It sucks, but I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be trained by it. Would you fill me up with what I need? I was the one out of sorts. You didn't leave me. God, this is your fault. No, it's not. It was my fault, and I take responsibility for that. I'm going to get back in alignment. So, how do we live? How do we live out this peace? How do we actually do it? How do we keep the peace flowing in our lives? Become a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus tells us, you don't just keep the peace, you make the peace. Paul reinforces this thought in Romans 12. If possible, so far as it depends on you, okay? If it's possible, he's saying, it's not that there's a guarantee, but if it might be possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. How do we live peaceably with all? Ephesians 4. Here's some ways, because I don't know sometimes. I don't know how to live peaceably with my family or people in the church that don't all agree with me or that, you know, there's tensions with or whatever. Well, what do? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I will make allowance for your faults because I have faults, you have faults, but we're here together doing this. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Oh, Lord, I need that peace so I can be bound together with the people I'm meant to do life with. Biblical peace takes work. It is active. It is not passive. It is not sitting there in your comfy chair just drinking cocoa. That's a nice little thing, but that's not peace. Peace is active. It takes work. You have to make peace. And so peace on earth, it's a great statement. It's what every Miss America winner says they want. I just want peace on earth. Well, guess what? There actually already is peace on earth. In a world of darkness, we are the pinpricks of light shining through God's goodness, His peace into our world. It is our job to let it out. So, Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 again. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Oh, I want that to be true. Oh, I need that in my life. This wasn't just a cute bedtime story 2,000 years ago. He didn't just live and die and that's it 2,000 years ago. His rule is now. It still applies today. His government is now. He is winning in our world, and his light is shining through. Even if it's like, it doesn't seem really peaceful, that's just because, I mean, as we know, even with media and stuff, the stuff that's the chaos is always the loudest, right? Ooh, clickbait. Ooh, this'll get views. Yeah, but have you noticed all the subtle, quiet peace that live? Peace isn't like loud like that. Look at me, I'm obnoxious. Peace is just there. It's happening. We just got to look for it. He is at work. And peace is shalom. It's restoration. It's completeness, and it's a gift exclusively given to those aligned with God's order. Can we stand up today? I want to take a couple minutes. I want to pray two prayers. First prayer I want to pray is an invitation to align with God's order. I believe God, all these things, whatever, but I'm not living my life in alignment. Now, this could be you who have never said yes to Jesus, who actually, as bluntly put, is an enemy of God, living in just selfishness, but saying, you know what? I'm done with this. I need Jesus. I know I can't do this on my own. I want to come into alignment and give my life to the one who died for me and made a way. Or maybe you're just like, I am following Jesus, but if I'm being honest, I'm out of alignment right now, and I want to come back into alignment. I want to invite us, let's close our eyes. I just want to start with a prayer. Why don't we just say, Jesus, thank you that you came as a baby and lived a perfect life to be a sacrifice for me. You rescued me through the cross and came back to life so that I could receive fullness of life. I step into alignment today. Forgive me of my sins. I was the one out of line. I was the one out of order. But I come before you now, my Prince of Peace, my Lord, and I surrender my life to you. I want to be in alignment with you. In Jesus' name. Second prayer is to receive God's peace. And I think it was important that we did this prayer first, because again, we got to get back in alignment if you want to actually receive the peace he wants to give you. And maybe you're here today and you need some peace. All that stress you feel, all that anxiety, broken relationships, unknown future, guilt or shame, chamomile tea can't fix that. Only Jesus can. So as we come back into alignment with Jesus, now we can receive that peace. So I'm actually not going to lead you in a prayer right now. I want to give us a minute of just silence. I want to let you speak to Jesus. And that could be something as simple as just saying, Jesus, would you give me peace? Or Jesus, where am I out of alignment that I need to come back in? Whatever that is for you. But I actually would just love to invite you. Like, I hope you know Jesus speaks to us when we calm ourselves. And so we're going to take a minute. I don't know what he needs to say, but I know Jesus would speak to you right now and give you the peace you need in whatever area of our life. So let's just take a minute and receive his peace. And even as you're doing that right now, you know, maybe you've never really done this before. I want to encourage you. Sometimes it's simple as just pay attention to like what you start thinking about. What do you start feeling? Does he show you a picture of something? Does he make you think of a person, whatever? And you just start going, okay, God, like, what do you want me to do with this? And just allow, have like a thought conversation with him. He wants to bring peace to those areas maybe that you're even thinking about right now. And it is something you can tangibly receive. He can bring. Like you could just feel, maybe you'll just feel like your shoulders loosen, your jaw will unclench, and it's just like he's bringing physical peace, but maybe it's just like the turmoil of emotion just starts to settle. We don't do this enough. Jesus, we receive your peace. With every eye still closed, I just want to invite you to hold out your hands as if you were receiving a big gift. And I'm going to end with this blessing that has been declared over believers for thousands of years. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.